Now, today's sermon is not a slam on SDAs or Catholics or anybody like that. It's just something that the Lord revealed to me a while ago. I did a sermon on this many, many years ago, but not on this particular way, you know, and it was more or less a live event. It wasn't a like this is now, but it was a what we call a POGM event where we had a bunch of people talking back and forth in regards to the Seventh-day Adventist name and how some are claiming, some lift it up as like it's a god, and this has got to stop. Now sure, the SDAs claim that the Lord gave them the name, SDA, and I do believe he did. I don't have any problem with that. That's, you know, I understand, I know how to read. but they somehow think that makes them immune to damnation if they stay in the church, regardless of the fact that they and all the leaders declare to be apostate. You know, because the Bible says you got to leave when that happens. Did not the Lord Jesus call the believing Jews out of the synagogues? I mean, did he not call the believing Christians out of the Catholic Church to become Protestants? And did he not call the believing Protestants out of the apostate churches into the SDA church in the ninth hour? And now that we're in the 11th hour, and every SDA will agree their church is in apostasy, they now need to come out of their churches as well. There's no getting around this. I mean, but then, notice this from the prophet Isaiah. And by the way, not just SDAs do this. Catholics claim they must stay in the church. Jews have been making the claim for 2,000 years, and I'm sure many other smaller churches and denominations do the same thing. But again, notice what Isaiah said long ago here. Isaiah 63, verse 12. And for those of you, let me flip over to the notes. I'm sorry for those of you in the on the stream here. Let me turn off this picture of the tabernacle and go to the notes. All right, those are the notes, and I'll scroll it down when the time comes. But Isaiah 63, verse 12, this gives Brother Sean a break. You know, him and some of the brothers like to put the sermon notes in the room, because when I do the sanctuary study, I don't have them all listed. But Isaiah 63, verse 12, it says this. Okay. It says that led them by the right hand of Moses with his, you know, Moses with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. Or questioning, you know. The Lord also gave the Jews an eternal name, is the reason I use this verse. Okay? I mean, no, it starts off kind of weird, like it's in the middle of a conversation, but you can't deny what it says at the end of the verse. He gave them an everlasting name. And since we as Bible students know all about replacement theology, the name Israel is in fact an eternal name, but the people are not eternal in nature if they sin. I mean, that's the reason I did the page many years ago proving that the obedient Christians from the time of Stephen being stoned were now considered to be Israel. And for those of you listening in the room, you know where to go for this, but on the stream, and you can get these notes later on after the service is over. But if you go down to the box number 7 right there, you'll see it. It should scroll up here. Okay, there it goes. There's the links for Who is Israel, SDR Statement of Faith, and the Seven Churches, Four Movements thing that I'll be discussing here in a moment. But I'm not going to go into detail in any three, of course, because, you know, I want to stay on topic here. But do you recall Matthew 21, verse 19, which is the next verse there, that says, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. We're students of prophecy, right? Is not the fig tree the symbol of Israel in the prophetic word? Yet there was no fruit on it. And so the basic reality is that it is not by the name of the tree, but by the fruit that this tree was obviously valued by Jesus on that day. And since there was no fruit, it was good for nothing and worthy of death. In other words, there's replacement theology again. Since the Lord gave the Jews the name Israel, and as we also know by simple Bible study that the name was always based on the character and obedience of the one claiming to be Israel, therefore that became the obvious requirement to carry the name onto eternity. Well, the SDA name, which was given them of the Lord, would hold true as well. But as we also know, because you look at the SDA name the same way you can look at the name Christian. Because a Christian is part of Israel. Well, SDA was part of Israel, just like SDR is part of Israel. And so they go a little further with the name for some reason in the SDA church. Well, they do that in the Catholic church and other churches as well, but Satan threw a monkey wrench into the works on this one. And I'm going to touch on that monkey wrench here, actually a couple times here in this sermon. But getting back to the name, here's the name Israel. Here is where it gets a bit tricky, as we all know how Satan likes to confuse the masses so as to prevent doctrinal and prophetic utterance from being seen by most people. Look around today, and you will see absolutely every single Christian church, except the remnant people, and that's not just us. That's why I say remnant people. There means a lot of people out there that don't even know each other. And we just happen to call ourselves SDR. But so except the remnant people, because everybody else is doing this except us, they're all declaring that the Jewish people are the chosen people of God because they carry the name Israel. Well, as students of the Bible and remnant church, we know that they are globally deceived on this one fact and it's to be expected, as this is part of the long prophesied strong delusion that comes upon the disobedient in the Lord. I mean, there's a lot of factors that carry in to that delusion, and that's one of them. I mean, 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 and 12 says, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now remember that part, because I'm going to touch on that. If you look at the SDA church, wherein it preaches Allah is God, the Roman Catholic Trinity is true, Sabbath or Sunday keeping SDA church is no big deal. I actually made a video about that one. General Conference leader said that. They say it's not a sin also to create an image of the beast via the 501c3. They say homosexual marriage is okay. Or no, I think they actually said homosexuality is okay, as they did this on camera. From a Loma Linda pastor. It was nationally broadcasted. And they also say the Pope is a holy leader and no longer to be declared Antichrist, just to name a few things, right? Because I'm not going to go. I'll be going on for hours. You just go to sdaapostasy.org and you'll know what I mean. You will see, if you stick around, that the SDAs have decided to take pleasure in unrighteousness just by looking at what they're preaching and embracing. There's no getting around this for those of us that have eyes to see. This is why we got to not only share the truth with them, but pray, and pray a lot, because you know what you were like before you met Christ. I mean, people could give you rock-hard evidence, and if you're not ready to hear it, it's going to go in one ear and out the other. You know, but praise God, years later, you know, the seed might gain an increase from our Father from on high, you know, and then, boom, it makes sense now. So don't judge them. Just pray for them. And so, just as Satan has everyone thinking that the Jews are the chosen people simply because they are given a name from God that declared it to be eternal, the SDAs are right now making the exact same claim to keep the people in the churches. In fact, they have gone so far as to declare that the Seventh-day Remnant people started a new denomination and then cite many out-of-context spirit of prophecy references, which they also twist out of chronological order, wherein they claim we must never start a new denomination. That, brothers and sisters, is where Satan's craftiness rears his ugly head within the SDA corporate church. What I mean is, if you look at, and I mentioned this last night, by the way, if you look at the statement of faith of the SDR church, it's in box number 7, remember I mentioned that earlier, you see that we never started a new denomination at all. And this is where that monkey wrench makes its first appearance. If you look at the original statement of faith in the SDA church, and I'm going to be calling Vern Bates' daughter on Monday and see, or even tomorrow, I think I'll call her. If they've got an actual transcript or of it, I want to put it on the site and show people, this is the original statement of faith of the SDA church. And now get your statement of faith of today, and it's going to be nowhere near the same. All right? So if you look at the original statement of faith of the SDA church and their darkened statement of faith today, you would see that they actually started a brand new denomination inside the church using the name, the same name, SDA, just as the Pharisees did using Israel. But to keep the people in the pews, the SDA church trademarked the name so as to prevent people of faith from leaving their number and then using the name. There's another monkey wrench. That's how crafty he gets. In other words, if you stay in the SDA church, you're actually being shaken out of the true church that never changed the statement of faith. And how do I know that? Notice Revelation 14:4. It says, "These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb." Well, as we know, women in prophecy are churches, right? And an apostate church is called a harlot or the whore of Babylon, right? And so I have to ask, would Jesus preach Allah is God like the SDA church and all the other churches do now? Would he declare the Roman Catholic Trinity is true like they all teach? Would he say Sunday-keeping SDA churches are sanctified by God and therefore no big deal? Would Jesus say it's not a sin to join your church with the second beast of Revelation, which is the United States of America, in a binding contract so as to create the image of the beast or the 501c3? Would Jesus also contradict his word and teach homosexual lifestyle is okay via the preachers on camera from Loma Linda? And would he again go against his own written word and say the Pope is a holy leader when he says quite the opposite in the word? And then would he also say that he's no longer to be called Antichrist or the beast or the man of sin or the son of perdition? No, Jesus would never do or command his undefiled bride to speak like that. It's just not true. It doesn't happen. Ever notice this as well? Just about every ex-SDA that joined the SDR church can attest to this sad reality. Notice how the leaders deal with those that believe that they believe to be an error in the SDA church today. Whenever someone is moved to come out of her, as prophecy stated his people will do, so as to follow the Lamb that the SDA, the Catholic, Protestant churches all walked away from, whenever an SDA child of God with the obedient fig tree fruit of a true Christian comes to their Seventh-day Adventist pastor to try to get them to see and stop the apostasy, at least in their little neck of the woods, if the pastor can't get them to water down their faith, that pastor kicks them out of the church almost immediately. We have many eyewitnesses to that fact in the SDR church. Instead of trying to help that soul who he thinks is now in sin, he ignores his biblical duty and just kicks them out. And why do SDA pastors do that today? Well, notice what Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 15 to 17. Are we still? Yeah, okay, I don't have to scroll up yet. All right, so moreover, this is Jesus talking. He says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Job done, right? "But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican." In summary, that means when someone is in sin, the Christian church must approach that poor soul one-on-one to try to get them to repent. But if they refuse to hear the truth from you personally, you return with two or three witnesses to let them know it's not just you seeing their sin, it's everybody. After all, from the Old and New Testament, it says it's always been by the mouth of two or three witnesses, and that every word may be established. But the SDA leaders won't do this today because they can't take the chance of the two or three of their members from being pulled out of the church by the truth presented by the obedient soul that they say is in sin. And they're kicking the church, kicking him out. But let's assume he does that anyway. Let's assume he's got a couple of strong SDAs that he knows are not going to jump off the apostate path, right? So he goes and he sends them. If the obedient child of God still refuses to see it their way to water down their faith, they are supposed to bring that poor soul before the entire church family to let them see how everybody in the church sees their sin. But that never happens in the SDA church when it comes to those that declare her to be, or him or her to be, in apostasy, because the pastor knows if two or three approach them, and worse yet, if they have a chance to stand before the church body, they might just be moved by the Lord to say things before the congregation that will prove everyone needs to get out of that church by citing Bible verses that go directly against SDA theology. fearing this to be a possibility, the SDA leaders ignore the command of Christ and just kick them to the curb. Get them out of here. In short, just as the Jewish leaders changed the church teachings from within the church 2,000 years ago, Jesus came and taught the people how to reform the church to make it right. But because the leaders ignored the truth, the ones that followed Jesus and came out of the fallen synagogues were given a new name. And so the remnant of her seed is right now seeing the exact same thing happen to them. The SDA leaders changed the church teachings in the same way the Pharisees did inside the church, and Jesus moved his people that are among them, as he promised to do in Revelation 14:4 and Revelation 18:4, and they came out of the defiled church to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And when speaking of the 11th hour church, it clearly says that we're not defiled by these women or apostate churches. And so we follow the Lamb wherever he leads. And so just as the early Christians never started a new denomination, but merely repented, which then caused a reformation, wherein they were given the new name of Christian in Antioch, we, the remnant of her seed, have repented, and his Holy Spirit moved upon us to cause yet another reformation, wherein we too were given a new name, just like the name Christian. We are Christians, in fact. And we stand firm on the original truth to the point we are not only called the Seventh-day Remnant people, we are called Israel as well as Christians because of our obedient hearts. Now check this out. And I wish, we were talking about this last night. As a matter of fact, I pray, not wish, but I pray. All Seventh-day Adventists, sit down, fast before you sit down, at least fast a day, and then open the book of Jeremiah. Just read that cover to cover. If you are honest and you have fasted and you're asking the Lord for light from his already written word, by the time you get to the end of Jeremiah, you will leave the Seventh-day Adventist church. It says in Jeremiah 11, verses 17, and then chapter 13, and then verses 13 and 25. So 11, 17, well, it's right there on the screen. Is it right? Yeah. Okay, it's the bottom of number 3. So let me scroll up a little bit so that I'm ahead of it somewhat. There. Okay. Okay, this is what it says. For the Lord of hosts that planted thee hath pronounced evil against thee, for the evil of the house of Israel and of the house of Judah, which they have done against themselves to provoke me to anger in offering incense unto Baal. Did you hear that? And since the SDA Church has agreed to declare the Pope a holy man, embrace the Trinity, even open dozens of SDA Sunday-keeping churches, they too now offer incense unto Baal. But continuing, it says, then shalt thou say unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the kings that sit upon David's throne, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, with drunkenness. All right, well, as students of prophecy, we know that wine and prophecy equals doctrine, and fermented wine equals Catholic dogma, or false doctrine. And finishing, it says this, this is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. In other words, even though the SDA Church preaches it, we know Allah is not God. He's not the God of the Bible. We know the Vatican Trinity is demonic. Keeping Sunday holy in the SDA Church is a blatant and utter sin, which means it is a big deal. Joining their churches with the state, with the second beast of Revelation, no less, that hates Christians, is a major sin and a major red flag unto most in these last days. Homosexuality is an abomination unto the Creator God, and the popes of Rome truly are the prophesied Antichrist. And so many obedient Christians in the SDA churches have left as prophesied, and some have actually joined with us in the SDR church. As prophesied, we were given a new name so as to prevent the apostate SDA church from suing and even jailing us for using their name, as some unfortunate pastors discovered recently. And again, and by the way, the SDA church used Jewish and Catholic lawyers to get that job done. In the same way, the Jews would hire people to keep the pigs that Legion jumped into. Think about that. They don't want to touch the unclean stuff, so they get somebody else to do their dirty work. So as prophesied, we were given a new name. So that they, and that makes it a lot easier for us not to use it. Now this, Satan knew And by the way, this is another instance of the monkey wrench. Satan knew about the given name of the SDA, and so he made it impossible for those that follow the truth to legally use it after they leave the church, because they trademarked it, right? There's nothing wrong with trademarking it if you're just going to use it to protect yourself, like we did. We won't sue anybody, but they can't touch us now, because they can't sue us. But they use it, the SDA, so they can sue people. They will literally sue you if you use the name SDA. But, and the people have tried to do it on us, but we didn't sue. But the Lord really shut them down. The ministries went to dust. I mean, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, like it says in the scriptures. But our Heavenly Father superseded all this falderal and gave us a new name, and it was declared more than once in scripture. Notice this, Isaiah 62, verses 1 and 2. It says, for Zion's sake will I hold my peace. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness there. Oh, this is so beautiful. Listen to this, please. I'm going to reread it. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Is that not the most beautiful thing you ever heard? Because he loves his people so much, he will not rest until those that shall be saved will be saved. And so just as the Gentile of old that were truly to be called Israel, but the Pharisees claimed that they themselves were the true church so as to keep the people in the synagogues, as well as lure some back that had left. Well, the SDA leaders are right now doing the same thing. And since Satan likes to repeat his methods of attack, the truth that brought about the name Israel, Christian, and even SDA, can still be used in historic as well as prophetic context for our day, as we've seen him do this many times in his work. The same attack warrants the same remedy. No getting around that. And so just as the Jews that followed Jesus Christ were given the new name Christian, as it was declared in Acts 11:26, which says that it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Well, we, the SDR people, who have mostly come out of apostate Seventh-day Adventism, just as the Christians in Antioch came out of the apostate synagogues, we too were given a new name in the 11th hour. In fact, it was prophesied as such a second time to be this way when you look at what our eternal King Christ Jesus showed John in vision 2,000 years ago in the book he titled Revelation. And it's Revelation 12:17. It says this, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as students of prophecy, we know the woman in this verse is the SDA church. Because he's not angry at the Catholic church. He's got them, you know, hook, line, and sinker. He's not angry at the Protestants. Got them too. The dragon is the devil, as we also know, and the remnant of her seed are those that came out of the SDA church because, as Revelation 18:4 declared when it said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and you receive not of her plagues. And we know the plagues are banging on our door now. How many of you are having the dreams? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the SDA church is the whore of Babylon, the mother of harlots, and always will be the Roman Catholic Church. But as their bold and admitted apostate fruit declares, they are, in fact, a sister to fallen Babylon now. Both Scripture and the Spirit of Prophecy declares the main fruit of Babylon is apostasy. But those kind of statements are never found on SDA pulpits, ever. I've got them listed on SDAapostasy.org, and people are shocked when they see they never saw that before. It kind of reminds me of John chapter 6, where people say, oh, this is a hard saying. You know, how could his flesh be food indeed? How can you eat the word? Well, if you, instead of listening to all the Pharisees, why didn't you open up your Bible? Because Jeremiah says, I found thy words and I did eat them. They didn't read their Bibles any more than the SDAs do today. Or anybody does today, for that matter. Both Scripture and prophecy, Spirit of Prophecy says, the main fruit of Babylon is apostasy. And every one of us that have left the SDA Church and every single SDA we talk to all agree that the church is, in fact, in apostasy and has been, literally, for decades. And also notice this. In the prophecy, the devil is angry with the woman, which is the original SDA Church. And as students of prophecy, we know this anger stems for what she did in the ninth hour that Jesus speaks of in Matthew chapter 20, which I go into detail in my Seven Churches, Four Movements page that is also mentioned in box number 7 of the sermon notes. But notice that the prophecy says the remnant of her seed is where he has focused his warfare. We have many reports of Seventh-day Remnant people being sent death threats, threats of being jailed, threats of being sued. And some of us have been jailed in other nations, like Uganda, by a Seventh-day Adventist president named Ted Wilson. When our people approached their people with Bible verses and spirit of prophecy statements in a tract as they were leaving the Ted Wilson meeting that he was speaking at. He had them go behind bars for fictitious reasons just to get them out of the area until morning when the judge can release them because there was really no charge against them. And they took our materials. The enemy of souls has sent many to try and infiltrate the Seventh-day Remnant Church to get us to water down our sermons and theology, to accept everything from alcohol to women wearing men's clothing and vice versa, which I'm also happy to report has failed and will continue to fail. Those that attack us sent out mass email campaigns against us more than once to try to make us look sinful. They have used our SDR name for years to try and confuse the masses, making us look unorganized and in agreement with their sinful acts, but the Lord shut them down. They have literally come into our homes, and one of them shoved one of our wives around right in front of one of our pastors to try and tempt him to go back to his old ways of scrapping and throwing him around like a rag doll. They have taken, and it didn't happen, by the way, they have taken our online audios and edited them to make it appear I said things I never said, and I praise the Lord for his hedge of angels because they got caught by at least 100 witnesses, eyewitnesses, in an online chat event, which then caused their ministries, the ones that edited my dissertation, if you will, their ministries got shut down and crumbled away, and one of them, the leader, is literally an atheist now. I kid you not. Living, he's homeless. He's living in a camper or a tent. He's in a tent now. He's on YouTube. I'm not going to say who he is. They have literally also written articles in their Seventh-day Adventist magazines calling me by name and stating I was a blood-sucking leech on the Seventh-day Adventist church. Name-calling. In writing. They have been using hackers to attack our online church services for years to the point I have to do a series of changes to the server each time we meet online, which I did before church, to prevent our audio conference from crashing as we gather for worship. They have left very threatening phone message. A priest identifying himself as a Jesuit even left a message on my ministry phone, of which I still have the recording. They have made more than a few attacks on our websites as me and my family were away visiting one of our children in intensive care. They knew we were there visiting my son, who was in intensive care for 30 days, and so that's when they decided to really intensify the attack because they figured I was busy. And one time, they did this on Sabbath day, no less, during a church service. And after our son was released 60 days later, one of these Seventh-day Adventists mailed threats and pictures of our home to him by name as he was trying to get better, but was still deathly ill at the same time, knowing such a thing could generate enough stress in his already frail body to literally cause a heart attack and kill him. Not to mention the fact the devil was the one that caused that disease to come upon him in the first place to try and slow the work he was doing for us in the way of turning sermons into videos for us years ago. And if I had more time, I would speak about all those that sought to befriend our people over the years and to try to get us to water down the truth, as well as some attacking the ministries, doing the work so as to cripple our finances. And just a few weeks ago, I was sent a threatening email from a Catholic wherein the one sending threatened to approach one of my daughters after he gave her address. And then he did, in fact, email her and then threatened to approach me personally, which he has yet to do. And yes, the police were immediately called. I can go on for many more hours about the attacks upon me personally, or my wife, as she was shopping one time for food, as well as members of this church family that are effectively doing the work of spreading the present truth one soul at a time, who are also under attack on a regular basis. But suffice it to say, it has become very obvious that the prophesied warfare of Satan, as Revelation 12:17, is presently on the Seventh-day Remnant people and not the Seventh-day Adventist people, just as the prophecy stated. That's how accurate Christian prophecy can be. And notice this as well. Would this prophesied fact not be echoed in the future if the people in sin, if the people sin in the same way that the Jews sinned of old? Notice the patience and mercy of the Lord for those that do follow him in the midst of those that refuse. It says this in Isaiah 65, verses 9, and then verses 13 to 15. And I'm sorry if I'm going to go a little bit over, maybe about 5-10 minutes over. It says, "And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. And mine elect shall inherit it, and my servants shall dwell there. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, my servants shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servants shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servants shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. And ye shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen. For the Lord God shall slay thee and call his servants by another name." The Jews use their name to force many to stay in the synagogues and ignore Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. The Roman Catholic Church did the same thing in Luther's day to try to get the people to stay in the Catholic Church and ignore the movement Jesus had sanctified through Luther. The Protestants ridiculed and even persecuted the SDA people when they were moved by the Lord in the ninth hour. And the Seventh-day Adventist church leaders are doing the exact same thing to the obedient remnant of her seed right now to try and get them to stay in the apostate church and ignore the long prophesied hand of God upon the remnant of her seed and their end-time duty. The Jews that followed Jesus were given a new name because the apostate Jews had caused the name to appear as a curse unto the obedient. Now, jump forward 2,000 years where the SDA name is associated with obedience, truth, and prophetic utterance in the ninth hour. For a time, they were openly blessed as the Jews were in their infancy. But now, their name, the SDA name, is also associated with a curse due to their bold apostasy. And so for the people of God to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes, to call themselves SDAs today, is actually considered shameful to those that walk in the truth as it was originally embraced among the pioneers. And so the remnant of her seed have also been given a new name. That name is associated with purity, obedience, truth, and prophetic utterance. And so we will stand here and hold our banner high until our King, Savior, and Creator returns to take us home, because the prophecy that declares we walk in the 11th hour said nothing of there being a 12th hour. And so if you're still in the SDA church, it is time to come out of her, my people, because the plagues are very soon to fall. Jeremiah the prophet clearly said something long ago that we all need to understand very, very much. This prophetic utterance made by Jeremiah applies to every church body from his day forward, that even when they were once obedient, who then fell into apostasy, and absolutely every single Seventh-day Adventist will agree is the case in their church right now, we need to realize that there is no getting around the simple and easy to understand biblical fact that even with a church body, their once saved, always saved theology like the Baptists use is not biblical. Jeremiah was moved by the Lord himself to declare unto the apostate Jews of his day the following shocking truths in Jeremiah 7, verses 13 to 15. Now let me scroll up a little bit for you all on the stream. There. Okay. He said this, "And now, because ye," and yeah, I yellowed this stuff for a reason, "and now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Therefore will I do unto this house, which is called by my name, wherein ye trust, and unto the place which I gave to you and to your fathers, as I have done to Shiloh, and I will cast you out of my sight, as I have cast out all your brethren, even the whole seed of Ephraim." Remember Ephraim from our sanctuary studies, brothers and sisters? It says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17, verse 17. Oh, wait, hold on. The enemy of souls is, whoa. Hold on, my notes just, I've never seen this. It looks like a video crash on just Word. Oh, there it goes. It's back. Okay, now I got to figure out where I left off here. Boy, oh boy, I tell you. Thank you for the hedge, Father. Thank you for the hedge. Okay. But again, remember Ephraim. Boy, that was, I wonder if there's something wrong with my video card. But Ephraim. Well, look at what it says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. It says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Let him alone. And then check out verse 8 in chapter 7 of Hosea. It says that Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. And what that means is, and the easiest way I know how to describe this is, you know, picture cooking a pancake for a moment. Okay, just follow me. You know, humor me for a minute. Picture cooking a pancake, but only on one side. It's well cooked on one side, but it's raw on the other, right? A lot of little bubbles in it and stuff. Ephraim mixed himself among the people. And so he only had a one-sided view of life. Like Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he's going to hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And in this case, with Ephraim, mammon is worldliness, which is apparent when you see what Hosea said next in chapter 7. When speaking of Ephraim, he said in Hosea chapter 7, verse 9, that strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. Sounds like the Jesuits that have moved into the SDA church, doesn't it? Most of the SDA people know they are in apostasy, but most of the leaders knoweth not. Isn't that strange? They're leaders, and they're standing there, and they're supposed to be leading, and instead of doing what it says to do in Revelation 14 or 18 or 12, they stand firm and say, stay in the church, stay with the ship. I mean, it just makes no sense. They're joined to their mammon. They don't even have strength of utterance. And one can see this in how they keep repeating the old standards regarding prophetic truths penned by the obedient pioneers over and over and over again. And that brings more people into the church because they never heard that before. So they think, oh, it's new and this guy's an amazing preacher. No, he's just a 12-year-old can get up there if he knows how to read and just echo what's already been penned. Was not Ephraim also given an eternal name like his 11 brothers? Is he not one of the 12 tribes of Israel? Yet his apostasy declared he was now to be considered forever lost, because like the Jews, the Catholics, the Lutherans, and the Seventh-day Adventists, he has joined to his idols and must now be left alone. In the list of tribes in Revelation 7, wherein those names are written on the gates of New Jerusalem, we see, as per Revelation 21:12, that these are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. But you'll notice that Ephraim and Dan are missing from the names of the gates. And Dan, by the way, is a whole other sermon, so I'm not going to get into that. But Jesus said in Luke 9:62 that no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You can call yourself a Christian all you want. You keep looking back to the things you want to do and did in your past, you're not fit. You're not fit. You're not a Christian. You know, like some denominations today, they claim once saved, always saved. The Jews, the Catholics, the Lutherans, and the SDAs also declare if you keep the name and stay in the church, you are saved. But my Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verses 10 and 12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth his name stand here before you whole. He's talking about a guy he just healed. Verse 11 says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For them to say you must keep the SDA name and stay in the church as a means of salvation is making the SDA name an idol. And like so many before them, like Ephraim, you got to leave them alone. They have embraced their idols. Check this out. And this is in box number 10. You might want to read along with me on this one, because some of you ain't going to believe this. The Catholic Church says, outside the church there is no salvation. And there's the source right there if you want it. Okay, they even said it in 1992, but I got some from the 1700s, 1600s, 1800s, and whatnot. But I figured, why not give them some modern stuff, you know? Check out what the SDA Church said in 1984. It says there is some relationship between salvation and church membership. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 to 8, boldly says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify them to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars," and we know what the thorns mean, right? The stuff you got to kind of like get off you so that the shittim board is nice and smooth before you use it in the sanctuary service. "But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. If an individual who once had the Holy Spirit can lose his salvation by embracing apostasy, so can a church body lose their blessed name and salvation in the Lord. The Jews lost it. The Catholics lost it. The Lutherans lost it. And now, brothers and sisters, the Seventh-day Adventists have lost it. It's time to come out. I hope and pray that you were blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day.
Come unto my soul, I sink deep in my earth, where there's no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods flow. For the zeal of thy house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee.
Sorry, the mic wasn't on. That's why it wasn't recording, right?